Welcome to A Shelter in a Time of Storm. My name is Roger Comstock. Our program was begun, and the intent behind it is to try to encourage people and help people with the storms they face in life. We're going to be doing some lessons, maybe with a little more positive tone to them. We're going to be doing some lessons based on a book by Alan Bryan called Climbing Happiness Hill. This book was first written in 1978 and has been reprinted about 15 times. Brother Bryan passed away in 2006. Some of you maybe have studied this book in a classroom setting in your congregations. Some of you may have read it in your own personal time, but this is our second lesson from this particular book. The first lesson, and these lessons are all suggestions on how to climb Happiness Hill. As we pointed out in the first lesson, it's not about waiting until we get to the top of the hill in order to enjoy happiness. That as we begin to make these adjustments, these changes in our lives, that we can enjoy happiness as we climb Happiness Hill. The very first lesson we talked about, we dealt with dealing with counting our blessings rather than counting our troubles. And in that lesson, as we talked about counting our blessings, name them one by one, as the old song says. So let's build on that lesson. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about learning to live just one day at a time. There was a kind of a radical television program a few years ago with that very idea, one day at a time. And it was about the changes that are coming in people's lives. You know, Abraham Lincoln one time said, "People are as happy as they make up their minds to be." And, you know, it's somewhat surprising how true that really is. I wrote a bulletin article recently, and in that bulletin article, we talked about lemons and lemonade. We talked about the glass that's half full or half empty. We talked about those who seem to benefit from the Midas touch versus those who seem to be plagued with Murphy's Law in their lives. And all of those three scenarios, those three cliches, if you will, all of them really have to do with how we think, has to do with our mindset, how we think and how we view ourselves and how we view ourselves in relation to the things that are going on in our world. In Matthew chapter 6 at verse 34, there Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In other words, Jesus isn't saying, just be oblivious, don't even think about tomorrow. That's not his point at all. But not to worry and fret and stress over tomorrow. And notice he says at the last part of that verse, that last statement, "Sufficient for the day is its own trouble," reading from the New King James translation. In other words, every day has sufficient problems and sufficient trouble. We don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow or fret over what happened yesterday. We need to take care of today. That each day has its own set of problems, and those are the things that we need to dwell on, that we need to think about, where we need to spend our time. Unhappy people are those who have not learned this lesson of living in today. Some people, many people maybe, live in the past. They live in the past, and whether it's past accomplishments or past failures, whether they try to continue to milk, if you will, those past accomplishments and use them today, or whether they fret and worry and are upset over those things in the past that were their failures. But they seem to be hung up somewhere in the past. There are other people who live in the future. It's all about tomorrow, and it's about what I will do or what I'm going to do and that sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with making plans. Certainly, James taught in James chapter 3 that we should make plans, including God, in those plans. If the Lord will, I'll do this or that tomorrow. But we need to be careful that we don't get so wrapped up in tomorrow that we forget about today and live in the present. You know, there is no circumstance, no storm, if you will, based drawing from our title of our program. There is no kind of problem. There's no particular difficulty. There's no issue in life that can't be handled if we'll just take it one day at a time. Well, let me ask you a question, and this may seem like a silly question. Can you eat a cow? You've probably heard this before, but maybe you haven't. And you think, well, what a silly question. Of course I can't eat a cow. Well, yes, you can eat a cow one bite at a time. Certainly none of us would attempt to sit down and at a dinner table and eat a whole side of beef. We wouldn't do that, obviously. But that side of beef can disappear as we eat it one day at a time, one bite at a time. Paul would write to the Philippian Christians, recorded in the third chapter of that letter at verse 13. There it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." He goes on to say, "I press on toward the mark of the calling, the high calling in Christ Jesus." But I wanted to stress that point that he makes, forgetting those things that are behind us and reaching forward to those things that are ahead of us. And to do that, we have to maintain ourselves in the day, in today. And that's where we need to place our emphasis. You know, we only live in the present. Today, this very moment is the only moment in time that I have absolute control over. I can't tell you what will happen 30 seconds from now, and I shouldn't dwell on what happened 30 seconds ago. This moment is all I can control and all I'm capable of dealing with. And so as we learn to live one day at a time, we can look to God's Word for encouragement, because this principle is certainly valid throughout the Bible. In Psalm 118 at verse 24, there it says, "This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We need to think on that thought and maybe begin each day with that very thought. You know, there are many people who live in the past. I hear people say from time to time, and sometimes it's in a very difficult or maybe a bad situation, but I hear people say, "Well, you know, I have no regrets." I wonder if they're really being honest. I think all of us have regrets. I do, and I suspect you do. There are a lot of things that I wish I had never done. There are a lot of things that I wish I had done. I have regrets. But I can't allow those regrets to hold me back. Whether they're positive or negative, whether they're about things that I should have done or things I should not have done, I can't allow those regrets to hold me back. Certainly we can learn from them. I don't mean to imply that at all. But most of us have some regrets from our past. Sometimes we need to remember that God forgives and forgets. At the close of the lesson, we'll remind you of God's plan for the salvation of mankind. But we need to be reminded, I think, from time to time that as we live our Christian life, one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. When we understand that, if we add to it a couple verses later, in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He's writing to Christians, people who have been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation. But we need to be reminded, I think, from time to time that God does forgive and He forgets. The psalmist said that He forgets as far as the east is from the west. He forgets. I heard a story told of a man one time who maybe seemingly couldn't forgive himself of some of the sins in his life. And he each time he prayed and would ask God to forgive him for those same sins over and over and over again. And it said in sort of a funny sort of way that God responded to him one time saying, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that sin is. Because God had already forgiven and forgets those sins. You know, I find as I get older that forgetting is real easy. But the problem is I forget the things I need to do. Sometimes we allow those sins of our past to hold us back. And we need to be reminded that God certainly does forgive and forget. The story is told of a man who had invested $20,000 at a time that he didn't have an extra $20,000. And his investment failed. He lost the entire $20,000. Over the years that would come, repeatedly, he would tell people about losing that $20,000. And over, he kept reminding himself of losing this $20,000. Well, someone said to him one time, well, you didn't lose $20,000, you lost $20 million. And the man said, well, no, I only lost $20,000. And the person said, but you've lost that $20,000 over and over and over again until now you've lost $20 million. I think you see the point. The man was unwilling to allow those mistakes of his past to stay in the past. Certainly we need to learn from them, but we need to dwell in the present. No one can enjoy the present if they're stuck in the past. We need to remember our mistakes and avoid making those same mistakes. But we also need to remember our victories. Those victories will encourage us, but we also need to be careful that we don't get stuck on either one, either our failures or our victories. Because some people hang on to the victories as if they can continue to live off, the fringe benefits maybe of those victories. So we need to be careful that we don't dwell on either our past failures and mistakes, our past sins, once they're forgiven, or to dwell on those past victories as if that gives us a free pass, a ticket, if you will, into the future. God promises He'll forgive. He promises He'll forgive if we're willing to repent. We've talked about this many times, that repentance simply means to turn around, to stop committing that sin, to stop whatever that action is, to turn one from one direction and turn in another direction. When we repent, we need to confess our sin to God. And He promises, as we've already said, He promises to forgive us as His children, as Christians. But we need to remember also that sometimes repentance includes repairing. Sometimes repentance includes making restitution sometimes. There are sometimes things that we need to fix about our past. We can't make a mess of our world and everyone else's world and not expect to suffer some consequences and not try to deal with those things and repair those things. And so repentance includes sometimes repairing. And when we're willing to make those repairs in of our past, it's much easier to move on and deal more with one day at a time. Someone said, well, worrying is like paying interest on things that usually never happen. I like that expression, paying interest on things that never happen. None of us would think for a moment about paying interest on a loan that we never received. We wouldn't think about paying interest on our home mortgage after the mortgage is paid for. Same thing with worry. It's like paying interest on something that never happens. Most of the things that we worry about never do happen. And so it really is wasted time. It's wasted energy. But most importantly, it distracts us from today. It distracts us from the moment. It distracts us from being able to live in today. You know, worry and concern aren't necessarily the same thing. I'm not suggesting that we go through the world just oblivious to everything and everybody, that we're just flippantly go through life. That's not the point at all. Certainly we need to be concerned, and when we pray and pray for maybe the health of a loved one or someone in the congregation, we certainly are expressing concern, but that's much different than worry. We need to learn to fix what we can fix and leave alone the things that we can't fix. If you can fix it, fix it. If you can't fix it, there's no point in worrying about it. In Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 15, there the Apostle Paul says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let me take that a little bit out of context and use that word circumspectly. Walking circumspectly means that we pay attention to what's going on around us. That isn't worrying. Again, fix the things you can fix. What you can't fix, maybe pray about it and move on. But don't worry about it. So pay attention to what's going on around us and take care of the things that we can take care of. Unsuccessful people are always going to do something. I hope you understand what I mean by that. That phrase, going to do something. People who never succeed and never accomplish much in life are always going to do something. Christians who fail are Christians who are round to it, Christians. You know, Christians who are going to get around to it someday. Are you that kind of Christian? Are you that going to do something kind of Christian? Are you the round to it kind of Christian? We have this big word, procrastination. Someone said, I'm going to quit procrastinating tomorrow. Well, these things in our lives that we can and need to fix, we need to fix them today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You know the rest of the story about the wise man and the foolish man who built their house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. You know the story. But notice those words. Those who hear my words and do them, that's the key. And you see, the only way that can happen is if I live in today. I can't fix them yesterday. I can't do them tomorrow. I have to take care of it today and live in the moment. You know, it's kind of like overcoming a bad habit. I've had some friends in the past who have struggled with the habit of smoking. What kind of an addiction that is not my point, but you can understand the habit. And they'll say, well, I just can't do it. I just can't seem to make it. And I've tried to encourage them, just live one day at a time. Make it through one day without a cigarette. And then we'll work on tomorrow. And tomorrow, we'll work on that when tomorrow comes. But do it one day at a time. Whatever the habit is that you're trying to break, do it one day at a time. Same thing's true with making a good habit. Some of these suggestions we're making from Brother Ryan's book, Climbing Happiness Hill, it was dealing with changing some things in our lives that we need to change. I'm asking you to change them one day at a time. I'm not asking for a month commitment or a year commitment. I'm asking for one day, today, and make those changes. We've already suggested in a previous lesson, count your blessings. Do that today. And so make a commitment to yourself to live today for today. You can't overcome that habit. You can't create a new habit, a good habit, except one day at a time. Kind of like we said at the beginning of the lesson about eating a cow. You can only eat that cow one bite at a time. Many people don't seem to realize that worry is a sin. Worry is a sin in that it is based in a fear. The Lord tells us that we shouldn't fear, that if we trust in Him, we don't have to fear. But worry is also a sin in that I believe it's a symptom of a lack of faith. And so we need to learn to replace those fears about tomorrow and replace them with faith to live today. And as Jesus said, let tomorrow take care of itself. Today has enough problems. Let's just take care of today. So let's learn to quit worrying. In Luke chapter 12 at verse 15, there Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. We talked about this a little bit in the previous lesson in talking about counting our blessings. But again, we have to learn that to live in today. We can't trust in what I might have tomorrow. We can't trust in what I had last year or what I made last year. We have to live for today. and in living in today. We don't get wrapped up in possessions and covetousness. Covetousness is about getting something from someone else that we don't really have a right to. And so we need to learn to live in today. You see, when we fail to live in today, we delay doing the things that we need to do. The Apostle Paul said again in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 15, he talked about redeeming the time, using the time wisely. Take advantage of the time and the moments that we have. So how do you start your day? How do you begin your day? And how do you go about that process of crawling out of bed in the morning? What's the first thought that enters your mind first thing in the morning? What goes through your mind? Are you thinking, all right, it's time to get up and get at the day? That's optimistic, isn't it? Or do you start the day with a dreary and, oh man, how I just can't make it. This is going to be an awful day. And you know, if you set your mind that way, it's going to be an awful, terrible day. But if you set your mind on positive things, get up out of the bed, put your feet on the ground, and thank God for that blessing. And upon that thought, begin that day looking to complete the day. Don't worry about tomorrow and don't worry about yesterday. Take care of today. Someone has said that first 5 minutes of the day is what makes the rest of the day. And so use it wisely. Take that time to determine what your day is going to be. And again, living one day at a time, that means when I start the day in a bad way, that I stop and rethink and make it a good day. Again, as we talked about in the previous lesson, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, if we've already determined that today is going to be a terrible day, chances are we'll be successful at making it a terrible day. But if you begin on a positive note, why ruin everybody else's day? Even if you're determined to be miserable, keep it to yourself. Don't ruin everyone else's day as well. And so as we make this trek, as we've talked about, up Happiness Hill, it isn't about just accomplishing reaching to the top. It's about making the journey. And upon making this journey up Happiness Hill, we'll learn how we're going to stay on top once we get there. It's about a pleasant journey. A journey toward a better way of life, a better way of living. As we've said previously, this lesson hasn't been about God's plan for the salvation of mankind. This lesson isn't about a specific Bible passage, but certainly is dealing with Bible principles. The principle of the Bible teaches about living in today. The principles it teaches and warns about living in worry and fret. Rather, enjoying the blessings of living in today. Enjoying the peace that comes from a right relationship with God. As we close many of our programs, I want to remind you of God's plan for the salvation of man. And that in itself, that great blessing, ought to bring a joy into our lives. As we think about God's salvation that's made available through a knowledge of His Word, through the gift of His Son, through the grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. We can read His Word and make application, and reading that Word gives us faith, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And from that faith has to take action in making the necessary changes in our life. Our first lesson, learning to count our blessings rather than our troubles. That's a change in our life, a different direction. Start living in our lesson today. Start living for today and not live in the past, not live in the future. Take care of today. That requires a change of direction. But more specifically, repentance is about sin and turning from sin and turning to God. That faith will drive us to want to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Make Jesus the Lord of our lives, Master of our lives, and confess Him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 at verse 32 that if we confess Him before men, He'll confess us to our Father. But if we deny Him before men, He'll deny us to His Father. We can deny Jesus in a lot of different ways, with our mouth certainly, but by our actions, by the activities we involve ourselves in the life that we live, we can deny our Lord. and even crucify him afresh. Hebrews chapter 6. But upon confession of faith, when to come to salvation, we must be willing to be baptized, immersed in water, imitating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, recognizing that we're burying that old dead man of sin. There's where the repentance comes into play. Burying that old dead man of sin and coming up from that water resurrected to a new life, a forgiven life, a life committed to following Jesus Christ. And if we'll do that, He's promised He'll save us eternally. You know, as we worry and fret sometimes about things that are beyond our ability to control, we need to be reminded of the Apostle Peter's words in his first letter, as he says, reminds us that we can cast our cares on Jesus because He cares for us. And so as we make this journey together in these lessons drawing on Brother Breyer's book, Climbing Happiness Hill, I hope you'll take these things to heart and put them in application in your life. I failed to recognize sometimes in our programs, I run out of time and I forget to remind you that there will be some contact information at the close of the program. That contact information has phone numbers, email address, it has the snail mail address. We are just delighted to hear from you and hear of suggestions you may have for future programs. We appreciate the encouragement. We appreciate the constructive criticism. We appreciate when you tell us that the programs have been a blessing in your life. That encourages us to keep on. And so thank you very much for your correspondence in the past. And we certainly would appreciate you responding to our programs in the future. These programs have the intent of trying to help us have a better perspective toward life. And we can do that if we'll take these suggestions for climbing Happiness Hill and make this journey together. I pray that you'll have a great day.